I hope you have been enjoying this series we've been teaching from the Minor Prophets. I believe that there has been invaluable truths that we have shared, and I believe that God is giving us insights that we have gleaned upon before, but it has been a while. I pray that you'll be patient with me tonight. I've been having a bit of a ring in my ear, so I have been struggling a little bit today. But I pray that as I minister to you, the Lord would touch and that you would receive his word in a very special way. But we're going to be reading from the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. We're getting into this particular book, and I'm going to give you some background of the book before we get into our lesson. I believe that you'll learn a lot about justice and what justice is all about within this particular lesson, along with other issues or spiritual conditions that are being dealt with by the Lord. But let me give you some background to the book of Habakkuk before we kind of delve into it here. The book of Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets, or book of the 12. And tells a story of a prophet's disagreement. Now notice that, a disagreement with God. Have you ever had a disagreement with God? You usually don't win when you have a disagreement with God. He usually, you know, is going to be very patiently listening, but otherwise understands the end before the beginning. But there are times that we have disagreements with God, and the prophet Habakkuk had one with the Lord. Well, more than one, I should say. The dialogue between Habakkuk and God occurs in Habakkuk 1, verse 2 through chapter 2, verse 5. The next section, Habakkuk 2, 6 through 20, is a series of five speeches that anticipate doom for a wicked nation. Doom for a wicked nation. The final section, Habakkuk 3, 1 through 19, combines a prayer, a victory song, and a prophetic response. The key question asked of God by Habakkuk is how God can remain silent when the wicked swallows one who is more righteous. Habakkuk 1:13. Have you ever asked that question? Lord, how can you be silent when the wicked swallows one who is more righteous? Habakkuk 1:13. You look around, you see the world, you see how it treats people, you see how it seems like the rich prevail, you see preposterous demonstrations of hideous injustice as people use their power or resources of power to justify vicious things against people who are just trying to live life or do things or trying to do a good thing, and they try to use it to stay in power or otherwise vex the soul of those who seem to be trying to do what God would have them to do, but yet are coming against or hindering people who would rather just keep in power, do the things they're doing, and don't want to have any accountability whatsoever. How can God stay silent about this stuff, you know? You know, I know that we all feel that way sometimes when we see the heathen prosper or this thing or that thing, but we cannot get our eyes upon all that. We need to go about and do the right things, speak the right truths, try to stand our ground, but having done all, stand, the scripture says. And if you're standing in the righteousness of God, it might not happen today, it might not happen tomorrow, but somewhere down the line, God is going to begin to show forth his grace and his power to you, or give you peace in the situation that he has a plan down the road that's going to take care of things. So just trust in the Lord with all your might. And lean not on your own understanding or what you perceive, okay? Sometimes we have to recognize that. Two groups are causing problems in Habakkuk's world. The Judeans acting in violent ways and neglecting the instruction, the teaching from Moses, and the Babylonians, whom God will send to punish Judah. Most of Habakkuk addresses the problem of the approaching attack by the Babylonians. By combining earlier material with commentary, the book of Habakkuk weaves together two themes to create a unified message. One theme considers why the wicked flourish, but the righteous suffer. The second theme anticipates the Babylonian attack at any moment. It appears that the author inserted the Babylonian question into the earlier thoughts about God's justice. Both themes specify Judah's punishment at the hands of the Babylonians and assert that Babylonian control won't last forever. There's going to be repercussions for actions or things done, but it's not going to last forever. There is going to be a time of hope and redemption in days ahead. Apart from this prophetic work, the only mention of the prophet Habakkuk in the Bible is in the Greek edition to the book of Daniel, known as the Bell and the Snake, Bell 33, verse through 37, okay, found in the apocryphal books, or Deuteronomical, or Deuterocanonical books, I apologize. That reference seems more legendary than historical. The book of Habakkuk contains some internal information concerning Habakkuk's identity. Both headings, Habakkuk 1:1 and 3:1, refer to Habakkuk as a prophet. Habakkuk seems associated with worship at the temple. Thus, Habakkuk's complaints in chapter 1, 2 through 4, and 12 through 14 resemble psalms that pose a complaint. Okay? The watchpost on which Habakkuk will wait for a reply from the Lord may have been located at the temple, and the psalm that closes the book shows signs of use in worship. So, this is a very relevant book, and one that no doubt can see its place in our time and where we live today. Okay? Now, we're going to consider these scriptures, and I want you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible, if you don't mind. I know most of the time I use the Common English Bible or New King James or King James, so you guys are, you're very familiar with what Pastor uses here. Okay, and this talks about the prophets complaining, okay? Lord, how long will I call? Lord, how long will I call for help and you not listen? You know, I know you all have felt that way. I have felt that way. Our prayers and our petitions not being heard from God, and just like, you know, it's praying to a wall. But it's not for us to wonder what's going on as much as trusting God, who is our source and our help. And understand, He is the Lord and He cares for us. We make our petitions of prayers known before the Lord, and we give thanks unto Him in anticipation of His grace, His power, and His redemptive love. Don't worry about what ifs so much in your life, but how you have presented yourself before the Lord. Don't worry so much about the what ifs, but how you presented yourself before the Lord. Because if you'll place your faith and trust in Him, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And sometimes God doesn't answer the prayers like we would like it. But we have got to understand that God has ultimate wisdom, but we are making Him aware of a situation, and our heart's content, or should be our heart's intent is being shown. Okay? So let's go on. The oracle to Habakkuk, the prophet, saw, Lord, how long will I call for help and you not listen? I cry out to you, violence, but you don't deliver us. Why do you show me injustice and look at anguish so that the devastation and violence are before me? There is strife and conflict abounds. The instruction is ineffective. Justice does not endure because the wicked surround the righteous. Justice becomes warped. There's quite a bit going on in the early portions of Scripture here in the book of Habakkuk. He's opening up his heart before God. What he sees as a prophet of God, as a representative of God. And he's trying to share what he seems to think are conflicts. What seems to be contradictions to what should be. And it's trying to bring them to the Father's intention so that he will deal with it. How many times have you wanted God to deal with something? Hey, Lord, go ahead, sick him. You know, that kind of is our prayer sometimes about some people. Lord, go ahead and sick them. Hey, you know, they're just doing bad and they're being like a snake in the grass. Lord, do something with them. You know, we've all felt that way. We've all felt that way. But we've got to trust in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be astonished and stare, because something is happening in your days that you wouldn't believe even if told. Now, this is the Lord responding. Hey, I wish I had, you know, a response from the Lord so quickly. A short prayer, a short statement. He's opened up his heart and the Lord avails. Look among the nations and watch. Okay, look among the nations and watch. Okay, Habakkuk has opened up his heart. He began to pray. He's begun to share. He doesn't understand what's going on. He thinks that there's injustice in the land. And the Lord's first statement is, look among the nations and watch. Okay? Be astonished and stare, because something is happening in your days that you wouldn't believe even if I told. Even if I told. You know, you're not going to believe what's going to happen. You're not really going to understand what's going to happen. You might have a bit of an understanding, but you're not really going to understand or perceive all that I have planned. But begin to look. Begin to watch. I am about to rouse the Chaldeans, that bitter and impetuous nation, which travels throughout the earth to possess dwelling places it does not own. Which travels throughout the earth to possess dwelling places it does not own. There's a lot of people in this world who try to grab and get a hold of things that they do not own, and they'll do it by any way they can, shape and form. Amen? Remember Ahab, the husband of Jezebel? He wanted a vineyard. It wasn't what he owned, but he wanted that vineyard. Okay? He wanted Naboth's vineyard. It was blessed. It was glorious. It was an inheritance he'd had. But he wasn't going to sell his inheritance. He wasn't going to give up on his inheritance. And he wasn't going to give it to Ahab and Jezebel. You don't give up your inheritance. You don't give up your birthright. You don't give up what God has invested your entire life into your being. And Naboth wasn't going to sell his birthright. He wasn't going to sell what God had blessed him with. And so Ahab and Jezebel, as the story goes, went through devious mechanisms to take that land. Well, the Chaldeans, whatever means they had to, they took and tried to possess land that was not their own. So very similar in its historical patterns. I'm about to rouse the Chaldeans, that bitter and impetuous nation, which travels throughout the earth to possess dwelling places it does not own. The Chaldean is dreadful and fearful. He makes his own justice and dignity. Oh my God. I could go on and on in this scripture. You know, he makes his own justice and dignity. Come on. That generation that he's speaking of about the Chaldeans, man, that could be a whole slew of people I know right here in America and other nations. Okay? They go about and they make their own justice. They give themselves dignity. But they have no justice and they have no dignity amongst themselves. There's no truth within them. But they go about trying to act like this, and that they know it, and this happened, and they try to speak a lie so many times to make people think it becomes the truth. But no matter how many times I want to speak the lie, it will not become the truth. That was a propaganda game that Hitler played and others have played throughout history. Just say a lie long enough and it becomes reality. Okay? And there are others in our day and age, and I'm not going to mention them, their names, who have been leaders of this nation who have done that. Just because they say it a bunch of times doesn't mean it becomes reality or was fact. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Amen. and truth will speak for itself. He makes his own justice and dignity. His horses are faster than leopards. They're quicker than wolves of the evening. His horsemen charge forward. His horsemen come from far away. They fly in to devour as swiftly like an eagle. They come for violence. The horde with all their faces set towards the desert. He takes captives like sand. He makes fun of kings. Oh man. Takes captives like sand. He makes fun of kings. He mocks them. He mocks them. Mocks leadership. Mocks different ones. Oh, man, there's things we could talk about our day and air about people like that. Amen? Amen? They mock them. They give no understanding to themselves, or they do not show forth understanding of an understanding of that which is truth and reality, and show no dignity towards people sometimes. Hallelujah. I do not appreciate people who go around, they show no dignity towards anybody. They have no respect towards anybody. And they go about and they downcast and try to put down people and they make fun of people. It's wrong. And it's not of God. Amen. Amen. He makes fun of kings. Rulers are ridiculous to him. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. He laughs at every fortress. Then he piles up dirt and takes it. He passes through like the wind and invades. But he will be held guilty, the one whose strength is his God. The one whose strength is his God. His authority. Their, quote, veiled power. That which they have and possess to try to intimidate and destroy. But they're going to be held one day guilty. One day they're going to pay. One day they're going to be seen for who they are. And they're going to wish that they did not do to people or act out like they have in their personalities and have caused such heartache for so many. God is not mocked. And he loves and cherishes his beloved. Amen. Amen. Some powerful scriptures here, huh? How long, Lord, must I call for help? Habakkuk 1:2. But you do not listen or cry to you violence, but you do not save. Do not become discouraged, my children. Do not become discouraged, brothers and sisters in Christ. When you don't hear from the Lord and you don't see your redemption, your help. The Lord will bring you out. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed out begging for bread. And we in the body of Christ need to help and encourage one another as we live each day and be there to help people to keep their faith up, keep their joy up, keep their eyes upon the prize, if you will. To be able to understand that God is not going to be mocked and there is going to be hope and strength despite, quote, the fast chariots of the enemy, beside those who try to steal and take over the land, beside those who try to mock and show a lack of dignity. There's going to be a standard raised. There's going to be a flag raised. There's going to be something that's going to turn the tide of the day and you're going to see the redemption of the Lord. Nothing is known about the personal history of Habakkuk apart from the brief heading of the book that bears his name. There are no other scriptures or reliable sources that tell us anything more about the prophet. While many of the prophecies of the minor prophets depict an ominous warning of coming judgment, Habakkuk's message differs from those other prophetic writings. The first two chapters of the book consist of a conversation between Habakkuk and God in which the prophet asked the Lord a series of questions concerning his reaction or apparent non-reaction to sin in the world. Habakkuk's first dilemma concerned the Almighty's seeming allowance of persistent wickedness in Judah, verse 2. The prophet's cry of "How long?" indicates that he had been distressed for quite some time about the conditions around him. even though he may have ministered during the reign of the godly Josiah, he still saw widespread wickedness among the Judahites that was not touched by the king's reforms. He was fortunate during his time that there he had been a prophet during the time of this leader, okay, Josiah. But even in the midst of progressive reforms, there's still sin that was prevalent. And that will always be the case. Mankind, in a sense, can't help themselves. They're born and shapen in iniquity. But that is not an excuse, because they all can grab onto the word of God. They all can grab onto the covenant of the Lord, and they can receive the grace of covenant to be able to live lives that are according to his word, so they don't fall under that category of rebellion and damnation and of that which shows forth an ill lack of character that does not show the fruit of God and his grace in their lives. I don't care how much doctrine somebody's got. I don't care if they come up with the right pedigree in the church. I don't care if they look the part of a Christian. If they don't have the character of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit abiding in their life, there is no testimony of the Lord being within them and bearing the power of God. They are like whited sepulchers. They are like tombs going about, dead men and women, not showing forth the love of God, self-deceiving themselves, thinking because of some reason or their pedigree or something, they've got it together. Don't allow yourself and don't allow others to deceive themselves. They must come unto the illumination of the Holy Spirit and recognize who they are before the Lord, because we are open. We are an open book before the Lord, and there's nothing hid from him. And we might as well avail ourselves to him and allow him to share with us what we can do to amend our lives, to receive the gifts and graces of God, and be able to use them in accordance to his word, that we might become the vessels of honor the Lord wants us to become. The vessels of honor the Lord wants us to become. Saul was going about, it says in the book of Acts, with letters and authority to go and kill and to put to naught those who were of the apostolic core, or those who were of the order of the church. And he was zealous about what he was doing, and he was killing and destroying and trying to vex the church. But one day God met him on the Damascus road and blinded him. And in the midst of this blindness, God brought people into his life that brought him to a place of revelation, where he received his sight, he got his life changed around, and got going on the Lord's side. There were a lot of people that just, hey, couldn't believe it. His reputation was so bad that the church had a tough time, hey, you're trusting Saul, who became Paul. But Paul became a great leader in the church and ministered and gave much of our writings that we have today towards teaching and edification and understanding what the Lord wants us to do in the New Testament church. God turned him around. And I don't want you to lose hope that God can't turn anybody around for the kingdom of God, no matter what he's got to do sometimes along the way. Hopefully it won't have to be so much so like Paul, that was Saul, has to bring about blindness or cancer or something else to get them stopped long enough to kind of go to God and present themselves before and say, okay, God, what do I do? Amen. Hallelujah. God wants us to know that he has a way to redeem. He has a way to restore. He has a way to give hope. And we just have to share a little seed. We've got to be a light shining on a hill. We've got to be a people called by his name to bear witness of him and show forth the Lord. And if we'll do that, there's going to be hope in this world. There's going to be hope in this generation. And God allowed Habakkuk to know that there was going to be some hope. Now, there's going to be some tough times. And there's going to be some judgment. God's just not going to ignore everything. He can't ignore everything. There's repercussions for dishonoring his word and dishonoring the statutes thereof. However, we're redeemable. Yet there's hope. And when we have put the pieces back together again, we're going to see God do great things. Amen. Some interpreters considering Habakkuk and the prophecies therein speak about injustice and violence in Judah and conditions described in Habakkuk's prophecy. But they also recognize that in the midst of that difficult time, that God was at work and he was speaking to his prophet and he was declaring his heart. As the prophet looked at the society around him, he expected the Lord to act swiftly. How could a holy and righteous God not respond to his plea for intervention with such rampant oppression in the land? How long would he remain silent and do nothing? God is trying to bring about change. God is trying to bring about leadership. God is trying to help people to come out among the remnant, the church, and become a spokesman, to be a leader, to help change the direction in so many areas, and to help people to get a hold of the things of God. He always has a prophet. He always has a teacher. He always has somebody in every generation he brings about to try to get things back on track. And yet the enemy tries to kill and destroy. I was just the other night listening to various sermons by Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and the poignant, powerful presentation of these messengers in their day, looking at the civil rights movement and everything else that went on during that time period, and the contradictions of men and how we were supposed to trust certain men. And yet, you know, they weren't looking at things from the perspective that Malcolm X or MLK were, or African-Americans, et cetera. They were trying to just try to pacify and say, hey, at least we're better to vote for than the other person or whatever else. But they were adamant about change. We can't compromise change. Amen. Change has to come. Change has to come. Change has to come about. And so those who are the messengers of God, those who the Lord lifts up, must declare the word of the Lord. And they must do so with clarity and with integrity. Listen to me. With clarity and integrity. The two go hand in hand. And if they do so, there is going to be an opportunity for God to do something wonders. But don't think that the enemy will not try to put them to naught. Don't think that the enemy won't try to get rid of them. Because he did it. He's done it in the past. He went through. He's tried to vanquish great leaders, great people. But you know something? Even when Satan has thought that he has destroyed that spokesman, God raises him up. One day, Jesus Christ was nailed to an old rugged cross. He was put to death. A man who was innocent, but put to death with no real charge. And he went down in the grave. And there, Satan and those who were his partners in this movement and this powerful force of lies and deceit to try to put him in out using the religious culture of the day, put Jesus to death, and Satan was determined to keep him in the grave, just like he did everybody else. But after 3 days, Jesus Christ arose from the grave. Jesus Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave. Jesus Christ became resurrection life. And despite everything that Satan tried to do, God is going to bring forth resurrection power, and he's going to minister, and there are going to be champions in the land that are going to see forth the glory of God. Amen. Don't become discouraged. Don't become dismayed. The Lord has a champion. The Lord has a champion. Hallelujah. And that champion might not be the person you're looking for. That champion might not be the person you think they are. But God is going to raise them up. It can be an unusual sort. It can be somebody you never expected. It can be somebody who doesn't seem to really have any great charismatic ability whatsoever. But God's going to use them. God's going to touch them. And God can use you today. Amen. So as he looked at society around him and wanted God to act swiftly, God tried to get Habakkuk's attention, give him a message, and help him to understand. It might seem like they're having the day, but there is going to be a price to be paid for those who've caused such harm. Believers today still struggle with the same basic questions that Habakkuk asked long ago. If God is all-powerful and abhors sin, why does he permit evil and violence to thrive in the world? Why doesn't he do something about it? Why not deal with all the injustice? Why not? When Habakkuk asked these questions, they didn't necessarily indicate a lack of faith, but conveyed a sincere desire to understand the purposes of a holy and righteous God. As Christians, we can legitimately ask these kinds of questions if we ask them in the same spirit. God doesn't mind your sincere questions. God understands the desires of your heart. There are things we don't really understand or perceive. And we wish that God would just every single time just make things right. But he gave each and every one a free will. He gave everyone a choice under the sun. And there are things that kind of been set in order, and mankind follows, you know, in this pattern of life that we see go in a circuitous fashion so many times, coming back and forth and back and forth, and it seems like, you know, it never, ever, ever gets where it needs to be. And a lot of causes and things that have finally come about took an awful long time to get themselves straightened out. And it's frustrating. Women to vote. African-Americans getting a vote in the civil rights movement, which right now is having a tough time because there's certain folks trying to go about and go back to the days of Jim Crow and, you know, take away a lot of the things that Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and others fought for. But, you know, we live in that day. And it seems to come about and come back because there's always seems to be evil trying to represent itself to do harm to what God deems as good. But I want you to know that the Lord has revival coming. And he will bring forth revival. And he will use you and I. And he will breathe forth his spirit. You know, there have been times in my life where, hey, the Holy Ghost was moving. The power of God was moving. The church seems to be going in the right direction. Things are going great. And then there was battles. And there were things I just never expected to see. Some of them were our own mistakes in the church. We got greedy. We got this or that. We got things in the body of Christ that became worldly that hindered the work of God. But then there were things when the enemy used different people and hindered the work in general. But you know something? I might not understand it all. But I have an understanding. I might not understand it all, but I have an understanding. And I know that my God's intentions are good. And if I will but just hold on to the hem of his garment, allow his virtue to come into my life, and minister through his love and his grace, that's what I can do. And with his wisdom and his word, share what I can to try to be a positive, powerful, spirit-filled influence in our generation. And you can too. And you can too. Never give up. Never say it can't be done. Never say this world is beyond redemption. Never say that your neighbors can't be saved. Never say that God's justice is not being seen. Trust in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't lean on your own understanding. Habakkuk asked God, why do you make me look at injustice? Verse 3. The prophet was distressed by the oppression and the perversions of justice in Judah, as well as the apparent absence of any solution. He could not understand how God could tolerate such behavior from his own people. How was it possible for God to look at destruction and conflict among his own with such alleged indifference? The situation had reached a point where God's revealed law became powerless and justice never prevailed, verse 4 says. Under the rule of Josiah, the law was rediscovered. 2 Chronicles 34:14-21 talks about that. But it had no significant or lasting impact on the corrupt religious and civil leaders who were accustomed to acting apart from God's authority and thought they had their own power. The church better be careful. The leadership of this world better be careful. Because when you try to buck up against the things of God and you stop the impact of God's grace from having its full revelation, and you try to go about and just keep up your own customs and things of doing things you're doing so that you can keep going with your power games or keep going in a culture of influence you have, without really recognizing righteousness, without really recognizing the illumination of God, you're putting yourself in a bad position. Because sooner or later, God's going to say guilty. Sooner or later, God's going to say enough is enough. And there's going to be a turning point in time. Amen. Amen. The righteous people in Judah found themselves surrounded by people indifferent to God's will. Because the godless were in control of most government offices and functions, they were able to hem in the righteous and treat them unjustly. Habakkuk 1:4. When there is no fear of God's appraisal, people believe they can get away with wrongdoing. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. I got away with that one. I got away with this one. You know, I bypassed that. I'm untouchable. Don't we know people like that in this generation? They almost mock what is the law. They almost mock what is truth. They almost mock what is reality in the church. Amen. But God will not be mocked. And his word is forever set in heaven. And God is eternal. And God can wait you out. God can wait you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think that I want to get too much further. We could get into some other scriptures now, but we're going to stop right there. God can wait you out. I remember my kids growing up, you know, they'd get mad or upset about something, et cetera. And, you know, I played for the long game. Didn't have to be right then and there dealing with something. And those kids thought they could wear me out or this or that, or they could be stubborn, et cetera. But usually they came to their senses and recognized, hey, you know, mom and dad right or this or that, and made the changes that were appropriate in their lives. In our hearts and lives today, I want you to know that changes can be made and things can be seen in a different light. But it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be simple. But God's playing a waiting game. And the scripture says that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And you might be weak. The battle might have seemed to be raging. It seems to be like you've had to hold up that shield of faith for so long and quench so many fiery darts of the wicked. But the Lord soon is going to give you the mind of the Lord and say, okay, it's time to move forward and take the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, and take up ground. And take up ground. Sometimes you have to take in the waylay of the enemy, of society, and different things going on. But the Lord will bring you through. The Lord will fight your battles. If you continue to have the right heart and mind and wanting to seek after the Lord's heart, he will see you through. We're going to learn some great things here in the book of Habakkuk. And I hope that this gives you a little bit of, a glean into what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. But I pray that as we get into these scriptures in the book of Habakkuk, it would become alive to you in such a way that, hey, you'll just say to yourself, wow, I wish I really had known this book and spent some time in this book before. And I believe we're going to learn a lot of lessons that will help us in our walk of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have gathered together tonight and we have allowed ourselves here in this group and in this online session to share Jesus Christ with one another and to see the Lord minister in his word. And I appreciate those with Covenant Grace and our friends who have logged in tonight to be able to share with them the gospel of the Lord. And I thank you, God, that your truth remains eternal and that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray, God, right now that you would reach out to the hearts and minds of each one here tonight and let them know that even if they've had some of those prayers of Habakkuk, they've sat there and wondered about the injustice, that they've wondered about their financial situation, they've wondered about their home life, they've wondered about their children, they've wondered about this and wondered why, God, it's just not fair. Lord, that somehow in the midst of it, God, you'll speak to them. And let them know they're going to weather the storm. They need to look at things over here like you told Habakkuk to look at the nations around about. Look over here and kind of open their eyes, Lord. And I pray that they will see the redemption of the Lord draweth nigh. And God, that you would minister hope in their life and minister grace in life and give them a little bit tonight that lets them know. Just bless them with something, God, that lets them know that, hey, okay, that's enough for now. I can keep going. I can keep going, Lord. And the Lord's grace is sufficient for me today. Lord, I pray that you would anoint them with your power and that they would recognize your sovereign love and they would sense and know that everything is going to be all right. And the peace that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus will be with them. We thank you and praise you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. I pray that you'll have a great week. I pray that God is going to just use you for his glory. He's going to minister some great things to you. And that you'll have a great time at work, at home, whatever it is that God has you endeavoring in. In Jesus' name, God bless you.